Welcome to the Appliance Educator Podcast, presented by Z-Line Kitchen and Bath, attainable luxury designed in Lake Tahoe. On this episode, we have a deep conversation about the future of AI logistics with Josh Millar of Raymond West. Welcome back to the Appliance Educator Podcast. Today, we're joined by Josh Millar, Director of Sales for California and Nevada for Raymond West. I'm joined today by Nick. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And Josh, thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's dive right into it, Josh. Tell us who you are and what Raymond does.
Yeah, Josh Millar, Director of Sales, and I oversee the sales team for Raymond West in Northern California and Northern Nevada. And Raymond West is an intra-logistics solutions provider, and that's kind of a $20 word for you there. And really what that means is if you think about logistics being the movement of goods from one point to another, intra-logistics is the movement of goods within one location, so within the four walls of a warehouse, let's say, or manufacturing facility. So we work on moving and storing every good that exists more efficiently.
Interesting. And you'd mentioned we were chatting before the cast, that's kind of a new field beyond being sort of a marriage between the physical industry and technology and analytics. What kind of spawned it? Can you give us a little background on intralogistics?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. Typically, the large, it comes out of, in America anyway, in the United States, North America, out of the lift truck world or forklift world. And really, Raymond, that's the core of who Raymond is, a forklift provider of forklifts. But the industry has rapidly changed with technology in the last number of years. And for the first time ever, the United States customer base, distribution and manufacturing, is really starting to look at how they can be, you know, more efficient, not just using what we all know to be forklifts to move product around in warehouses. And so companies like Raymond West are looking to diversify. So not only do we just sell forklifts anymore, but we do the software that tracks the forklifts, the software that tracks product picking, labor management software, automation, conveyance, etc. Basically, everything that you find within the four walls of a facility, we're now going to do.
It sounds like a really exciting field where, you know, with advancement of technology, there's always a new integration. I mean, how deep does this go? Are you guys looking at AI and some unmanned projects? Is that on the horizon? Can you talk to us about any of that? Or,
well, I might be able to talk to you about it, but then we'd have to. But no, that's absolutely where we're going. There is definitely conversation on the table at the higher levels today about artificial intelligence and the, you know, robotics that we will be selling to move product in the future. There's a measure of AI already coming into automation, but I think it's going to go fast from here on out. For a while there was a real pause in North America about adopting automation, but it's starting to move a lot faster now.
Interesting. And is that more contemporary, or has that been kind of an industry trend over the last few years?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of multiple things. You have a generational change. So you have more and more folks in their 20s, 30s, and 40s now moving into management positions, wanting to do some out of the box ideas, sure, not just the same way we operated the last 100 years. So you've got people more open to listening. But then, more importantly, when the pandemic hit and the economy was still going through the roof, you know, how do we get product made? Sure. How do we get it shipped out? How do we get it to the stores so that people can have food and medicine and whatever it is? How do we get it out there? And so I think that really forced North American companies to look at, hey, if we can't have people come into our distribution center because of something like a pandemic, we better start thinking about other ways to put product together or manufacture something and then get it out in an automated, efficient way.
Sure. And it sounds like you're really at the crux of kind of marrying, you know, a very traditional aspect of business with kind of the technological frontier. So kind of looking at the current challenges in logistics, we've heard so much about supply chain and how it relates to the pandemic, and from the outside looking in, you're kind of like, okay, I understand it when I can't get something at the store, but can you go in deeper in how that's kind of affected things and what we kind of see coming out of it?
Yeah. So on one hand, it's great. The economy's been booming for some time and we're all doing well. There's plenty of jobs out there. And so that just perpetuates itself and more expansion and growth, which affects our business. And then the pandemic hits. And we also had, there was also some political and international issues with import and export issues that caused a lull in that.
Sure.
But really, I think when the pandemic hit, you can't get, you know, you can't get people, which is what we've depended upon moving all of this. And then when people started to be able to come back, there were certain restrictions. Mm-hmm. But also you had the government, you know, giving out financial stipends, and that affected our workforce as well. So on the logistics side, it's really hard to get good people to come in to companies, and you wonder why you can't get your wheel for your bike that you're trying to repair, because that distribution center can't hire anybody to come in and go pick that wheel out of the pallet slot in the warehouse to get it to you.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And you know, to relate that kind of to our local industry, because we've really seen, especially in Northern Nevada, the logistics warehousing field has grown so much. Yeah. And there's a lot of big companies relocating here. They've done a lot to make it more business friendly. To that point, I mean, it seems like such an interesting crux that we're seeing a lot of growth, but at the same time, these growth challenges. Mm-hmm. And what sort of seems to be the inside take, because you're bringing a really interesting perspective to the podcast on that. So,
it is odd that, I mean, it does make sense that, on one hand, when something starts moving at a rapid rate, it's probably going to be harder to keep up with that pace, and we would see some slowdowns in manufacturing. We've seen that over the years, lead times going out and then shrinking. But in this case, we kind of had two things hit at once, and an economy that we've never seen before. We are selling lift trucks almost twice the amount of that we've ever done before.
Wow.
even in 2006 and 2007 when the economy was booming. So it's really crazy in terms of the amount of product going out. But if you can't find employment to come in and help with this, you know, biggest time we've ever had in history, then people are still going to buy because the economy is great and they need to expand, and our customers want our product.
Sure.
That's not stopping, but because of circumstances, we just can't move fast enough. And our business was in a prime place for this. In Europe, they're probably about 20 years ahead of us in terms of adopting automation, and that's mainly because of space. Mm. They can't expand like we can.
Sure.
Well, now we have a personnel problem, so that's really been the crux that has maybe given some courage to businesses in North America to go, okay, we're now going to change the way we've been doing things for the last 30 years and maybe look at something scary like technology or automation that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about automation, though, unlike some of the other basic products like a lift truck that we sell, it's actually just a basic math problem. It's the ROI is really pretty much guaranteed right there, because you're doing all that research up front to find out what your throughput is going to be after you've installed the automation. So
sure.
You know what that's going to be, and you know exactly when you're going to get that ROI and start making money on it. That was something that I think most business owners here didn't either take the time to look at or were too scared to even entertain it.
That upfront cost.
Yes, yes. Yeah, out of this world to be able to, you know, imagine me walking in and asking you if you want to buy a $2 million automation system. I swear it's going to get your product out faster.
Right, but it's a scary number up front, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. And so now that, you know, things are kind of reemerging, is there another change on the horizon, or is this kind of the standard trend that you're just seeing more adoption in the field? And really, it seems to be a kind of a new mindset taking over of like, we're ready to embrace this challenge.
Yes, B.
Yeah.
It is the new mindset, and I will, very firmly say that it's not going to go backwards. And if you don't learn about it and don't keep up with it, you'll get passed real quick. I think one of the things we're doing is finding ways to make some automation scalable. So maybe that smaller mid-sized company who would never ever think of that word is so scary. Well, maybe we have a little bit of a bridge that's not so expensive in the beginning, but it actually helps that customer with their challenges. I would say, in the scope of material handling and logistics, it's almost going through school from kindergarten through junior high, and you grow and you learn. My recommendation after being in the industry 15 years and selling it to customers is there's so much involved in this and so many different pathways you can go down, so many different solutions solutions and industries that really don't spend all the time. We have people that do this or have been doing this for years and have done all of the research within industries and throughput. Don't waste your time trying to learn something and a couple of weeks before you want to do a project and have somebody come in. Just let someone like Raymond West actually do all that work for you. It's a free service. We're here to help you and to look at things, and we really want to help you become a better company and not wallow in the woes of efficiencies and, sure. and get passed up.
Yeah, trust an expert to come in and bring the best knowledge as opposed to trying to just jumpstart and figure it out on your own.
Yes, and there are a lot of solutions. I mean, over 15 years of selling, I've walked into countless scenarios where the customer felt helpless or just didn't know. And we did some obscure solution for that somewhere in the country that works perfect for this particular customer.
So what are some of the automation products that you're seeing being used in the warehouse that are kind of replacing the human element? And is there things that the human element will never be able to be replaced by?
Great question. I'm going to tackle the human element replacement first. What we are finding with these businesses, especially right now, the fear with automation is, oh my God, humans are going to be replaced. But what's happening and what happened in Europe is they were just reallocated to better serve the organization. Mm-hmm. They were wasting that body on a worthless task. It's not that they want to get rid of them. They now have that body for something else that two people were doing. Or if you're in a scenario where you're just overwhelmed, you have temps and you have tons of people coming in, yes, you can reduce labor, and labor cost in this country right now is massive.
Sure.
So really something to look at. But what types of automation are out there? One of the big things, products that's becoming more common is what we call an automated, for the podcast, an automated crane picker. So if you imagine big, giant 100-foot shelves full of pallets of products, these automated, cranes fly down these aisles at 15 miles an hour, unmanned, in a dark warehouse, no lights. They stop right at that location, forks jam in, pick up that pallet, they bring it out, and they'll usually drop it off at an automated trolley system that's constantly going around, which then takes it to be checked. And you have automated wrappers that then wrap all of the product. And then you have a AGV or an automated guided vehicle that the wrapper puts the pallet on. And that takes it right to an automated conveyance system, which puts it right into the back of a truck. Nobody's even touched the product. So that's becoming more and more common today. But definitely not taking the place of humans just doing things that we wouldn't be able to do anyway.
Sure, sure. But it sounds like within the world of intralogistics, Raymond's kind of offering that solution to be end-to-end in the warehouse, from the pick to palletized and ready to go out the bay door.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we're going to come in and assess where you're at and not try to shove a high school level education if where the, you know, the business is at is more in that junior high level of expanding. We're going to work with you to scale.
Hey guys, Drew from the Appliance Educator Podcast here, and I just wanted to take a minute out to talk about our amazing sponsor, Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. You've heard the guests and the hosts talk about this amazing brand and all the attainable luxury that they create right here in the heart of Lake Tahoe, USA. From freestanding ranges to ventilation, dishwasher, and microwave, to everything you'll need to complete your next bathroom project, Z-Line Kitchen and Bath is bringing luxury into your next project. Are you able to share any unique stories on, I mean, because it sounds like it's a lot of customized solution and a lot of assessment to really fit the right package for the customer. Any interesting stories on really like a transformation or anything that jumps to mind on really something where you came in and said, there's a lot of opportunity here and we can do something pretty special?
Yeah, I would, I guess one of the things that I've really learned with companies going this direction and being more efficient through automation is that in the beginning we have a phrase that we say, and it's you have to optimize before you automate. And that can be a lot of painstaking meetings and gathering of information and understanding what are you doing today for a process. And sometimes it exposes that there aren't processes.
Sure, sure.
So if you're listening to this and, you know, you're in distribution or, you know, warehouse, you know, and things are inefficient, you know, start looking at those in a little bit more detail and try to find out the reasons why or why, you know, ask questions, why do we do it this way? And that will start to kind of, you know, prepare your mind for what automation, you know, brings. If you don't, you have to have processes in order to be able to move into automation. So if you haven't really thought about, you know, holding processes accountable a whole lot, it will keep you from going that direction. And then in terms of a great opportunity, I'm going to give a shout out to Reno. I just saw an article, a big industry magazine group the other day, and on the cover it said, if you're trying to touch the West Coast, Reno is where you have to be. And so every company in America right now is looking at Reno, and because of the automation culture, the culture kind of started out here. I don't really know how that happened. Could have been just some larger corporations moving in and they were deciding to test it. But now it's got a little bit of a personality to where if you move into Reno and you want to be like all your peers that are out there, you're going to have some sort of efficient and cool way. You're going to be doing distribution at a high tech level.
Okay.
So we have a lot of customers in town. One in particular that is in the medical world, and they provide some pretty important, you know, products to our hospitals, and they do not want to, because it's so critical for them to be able to get this product out, they never want to have North America be in a position where we were, where we couldn't get product out. And we were importing a lot of this product from overseas. So then all of a sudden it slowed down. Well, now we couldn't get it in our hospitals. So this company on that alone has said, hey, we're going to commit to the American people. We're moving into Reno and we're going to do a fully automated solution. And I just sat on a meeting yesterday, and so far where we're at, nobody touches the product as it comes all the way through. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And to kind of circle back, do you think when a lot of people start considering this, because it sounds like the process is what leads to analyzing efficiency, are a lot of people looking at this of simply like the cost? Or are they trying to sort of look at something like, I can achieve a higher revenue by deploying more product? Or what is it more driven through the pursuit of efficiency? Or do a lot of people have like a goal that they know they aren't hitting? I don't know if that's an obscure question, but just kind of the drive where people really can start to assess the need for this.
Yeah, I'm not going to state this as gospel, but I feel that what's going on right now is more of they're making a decision to go this route to survive. And what I mean by that is I'm going to date myself a little bit, back during the dot-com and technology boom. I was a sales guy during that time, and things were moving so fast that it was only the companies that, you know, were being efficient in that space that allowed them to survive. And then it eventually started to mold together, and you had your big, you know, software companies that we have today. We don't have all those dot-com companies anymore. That's where we're going, I believe, in our industry. So when a customer neglects efficiency, what they're neglecting is the possibility of their existence in the future.
Interesting. That they'll probably just get whatever's of value kind of get swallowed up or left behind.
Yeah, or similar to, you know, one of your customers asking you if they can email you something, and you say, well, you can fax us something, right? They wouldn't even understand what a fax was. So that's the direction we're headed. There will be some level of automation, and really, you know, 75% of, you know, distribution manufacturing at some point. And as we all know, technology runs at an exponential pace.
Sure.
So if the wick has started, which it has with automation in North America, the fire's right over there. We can see it. It's coming.
And as far as this goes to the end consumer, I mean, is this really what we've seen in that, like, in so many industries, we've just seen a shift to like dropship model, the ability to say, hey, go online, hit a button on your phone, in a couple of days, it's at your door.
Yes.
Is that really the end touch point for most of the populace there?
It is. I mean, if you think about it, probably, you know, over the last year, we as a population, even with the baby boomer generation, we all got really good with technology and ordering online and Amazon becoming who they are. And then you hit this impact, and people like you and I can't order a birthday present for our children because it's backed up, or we can't get our favorite hair product at Walgreens because they can't get the special ingredients from one vendor to even make that product and then get it out to you as the consumer. So, really, the American population is desperate for the American distribution and manufacturing business to adopt automation so that we can provide your product to you like you've expected in that, you know, quick turnaround.
Absolutely. And I imagine, especially just because we're such a large market spatially, you know, compared to, you made an example of Europe, and it's such a bigger country, and you've got someone out there in the middle of anywhere that's mm-hmm. like, I still want product to my door.
Yes.
How do I get it?
Yes. And you know, the consumer mindset, there's no excuse.
Absolutely. You know?
2 weeks? No way. I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So back to my point about survival, you're not going to be able to make excuses for very much because someone will come along and adopt automation and get it out faster than you.
And it sounds like the inherent competition in the business of like, hey, there's plenty of guys selling plenty of product is a big driver for your industry, because it's kind of like the guy who invests, the guy who's moving forward is the one who will get the sale.
Yes. And you know, we train our sales force. Really, they are consultants. And it's a long haul relationship. It's a marriage with our customers, because if you think about it, you're scaling with them.
Sure.
So our consultants need to, you know, be intimately involved with your business to understand the product flow so that they can make the proper suggestions at the right time, and when there's budget and when there's not budget, to be able to help you grow, because you're not the distribution experts. We are. So we take that really to heart, that it's a family. We adopt you as a customer. It's our responsibility to take care of you and grow you. So, yeah. And lots of times too, when the customer embraces that partnership there, then it really works wonderfully. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I mean, especially just the relationship aspect of what you're building. It sounds like Raymond's been involved in so many different projects, especially for large scale companies. But I'd be really curious to know, do you got any stories about like that entrepreneurial mom and pop that you were able to like see go to the next level?
Am I allowed
level?
To use names? Probably not.
If you want to describe. Yeah.
Well, this goes back a little ways. This was actually when I was a salesperson in the field, but I had a customer that I was cold calling for the longest time, and they were using a competitive forklift brand. And so, of course, I was just the, you know, sales guy, that pestering sales guy, but I kept at it and followed up. And there was an opportunity where they were, gave me the chance to speak to them a little bit. And eventually I won a one used forklift deal with this company.
Okay.
But once I built a relationship with them and got inside the warehouse and figured out that they were on this rapid growth, and they provide, they're a popular supplement.
Okay.
Manufacturer, and they work a lot with all of the NFL and pro football, pro baseball, pro basketball teams. So kind of high profile, and you knew they were going to grow super fast, but they were functioning in that, you know, use a sports analogy, that junior varsity world of distribution, and they just couldn't grow without it. And so through that partnership and over a 3-year period of time, we did things like redo their pallet racking system. We added a pick system for them. We added labor management software. We added a whole new forklift system and forklift software that tracked the operators, and eventually they got on the cover of Material Handling Magazine.
Oh, wow.
With some of my projects in the background. So, and you know, their owner and I were good friends, and you know, he would joke about all the money that he was paying me, you know, to do this. But the reality of it is, you know, there was a return on that as they grew and expanded, and then they eventually sold the business for, you know, a lot of money. So I, you know, for a material handling guy, I like to say that I kind of had a part in helping them expand and get to that point where they were able to sell the business. And you know, maybe I should reach back out to them and ask for some money, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was really critical in helping them visualize the ability to scale, because we've worked with multiple small businesses, and you know, there's always that challenge of, hey, you might be excellent at what you do and people love it and their, you know, customers are banging on your door, but if you can't scale effectively, it can be the pitfall of many successful businesses.
That's absolutely correct, and we do see it on a fairly regular basis. It does happen. So if I was ever to go on the other side of being a decision maker, and I was to consult other decision makers about how to handle salespeople, don't deny them, because that's the one thing they're trained to do is come back. But when you give them some airtime, or in this case, the importance of distribution and automation, and if you haven't already, reach out to them, have them come in and talk to you, and at least just give you information. Then they'll leave you alone, actually. So, yeah, I mean, just it gets out of control when you try to do something you don't know how to do on your own. So call in the experts. There's a lot, since automation has developed, I feel like you're learning something every day, or something changes. It's just technology.
Right.
It's no different than, you know, the iPhone, our smartphones. It went so fast. You know, flip phones were so amazing, and 5 years later we had computers in our hands. Yeah, non-existent. And that's, I cannot see how our industry won't be any different from that, because it's technology that's advancing it.
On that point, we talked a lot about things already in your warehouse that are being shipped out. What about the stuff that's coming into our warehouses? What's kind of the trends in that, things from coming overseas and automation from around the world? Because we talked a lot about North America and how we're getting into it. And you kind of said a little bit about Europe, how they were kind of taking their model. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate more on that and what the rest of the world is kind of at compared to where we're at?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now with a pandemic and what that would mean and what we went through for closing borders, we actually had a scenario where we were going to be installing a large $1 million rack project at a customer in, I believe it was in New York. And for whatever reason, our installers flew in just across the border and by that next day, they weren't allowed because of the pandemic to get in. So you have a massive customer that's providing and has all of these deadlines to get product out, to get to the consumers, and we can't get across the border to install the system that's going to hold all of that. So guess what? All the consumers don't get their product. But I think what right now you have American businesses saying we don't want to depend on things overseas. So automation, usually the reason we went overseas was because everything was made cheaper over there.
Sure.
But with automation, although there's a big upfront cost, you can actually do it cheaper here in the United States than overseas, where costs are so less. But you have to make the investment up front. So I believe that a lot of, rather than, I think you're going to see, I hope you would see importing go down a little bit, because in American manufacturing should raise back up because of, and we are seeing that through automation. And hopefully we're not as dependent upon overseas companies to make various products that we need and
that we can absolutely do here ourselves.
Yes, you got it. Yeah. So it's not only on the distribution logistics side, it is absolutely manufacturing as well. And does that make us somewhat self-sufficient as a country in terms of goods? Well, I don't know. Somewhat.
Yeah, it's still a global economy at the end of the day. But, that's interesting too, because we do hear so much about the labor challenges and the material challenges. But I think it's one thing that most consumers may not be aware of is that the international shipping, the costs have gone up so significantly in the last 12 months. Yeah. And it really, it gets passed on to the end customer, the guy who's each pay point along the line, someone's paying a little more money to move product around.
Yeah, I can tell you, we're at the beginning of the supply chain, so we see the change happen first. And over the last year, there has been countless product, all the way down to the component level, price increases from, up in the 10 to 15% over a period of time. So guess where that's going to ultimately go?
Yeah,
back to us.
Customer. Yeah. Yep.
So we're going to see that. I'm sure we're going to be seeing that over the next a couple of years is, but we would hope that would come down based on today's podcast, because eventually they'll get more efficient thanks to us, hopefully, and we'll see that cost reduce at the consumer level.
So there you go. They're not only providing intralogistic solutions, they're saving you some money at the end of the day.
Kind of a hero.
Yeah.
Touching everyone in every point.
Exactly. Well, Josh, this has been a fascinating conversation. We really appreciate it. But before we cut you loose, anything you want to plug on here? Anything you'd like to take your moment?
Yeah, well, I'll keep it, focused on Raymond West. There's a lot of talk about expanding. We are also doing a ton of expanding. And so that we can provide quickly to our customers and be a regular service. And I've got quite a few experienced consultants in Northern California and Northern Nevada. So if you have any questions, no matter how small you are, a little ma and pa warehouse to, maybe an operations mid-level manager at a large corporation, please, no question is too small. It's what we love to do. We've got tons of knowledge up in these heads. And so, let us have a look at your application and help you out.
Awesome, Josh. Thank you so much. This was a really fascinating conversation. So we loved having you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys.
This has been the Appliance Educator Podcast, brought to you by Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow at Appliance Educator for more tips and tricks and advice to keep your home running at optimal performance. If you have any ideas or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, leave us a comment. Appliance Educator, signing off.